20 years since Attica. This is Mimnos and Commentary from the Maoist Internationalist Movement. September 13 marks 20 years after state troopers gunned down 29 prisoners in the D Yard at Attica State Prison. In commemoration of Attica Day, some prisoners will refuse to participate in any activities, according to our prison correspondents. A Maryland prisoner writes, "In collaboration with New York and New Jersey prisoners, we will not go to school, work, shop, etc. on September 13 in commemoration of Attica. Commemorative ceremonies outside the walls are planned in New York City, Buffalo, Washington, D.C., and Ann Arbor, Michigan." The prisoners at Attica were fighting for an end to the system that perpetuates the destructive cycle that imprisonment represents. They wanted us to see their rebellion as one battle in a continuous struggle waged on an international level, not just one isolated incident. The Attica uprising was not just a spontaneous event. There had been political study groups in most of the major wings. Prisoner consciousness had been developed to a point where the entire population could act together. Prior to the uprising, well-thought-out demands had been drawn up and submitted to the state's corrections bureaucracy for resolution. When no action was taken by the officials, prisoners had backed up their demands with a 10-day peaceful work strike. Shortly after that, when George Jackson was murdered at San Quentin, Attica prisoners wore black armbands and boycotted the mess hall for a day. All these actions reflected a high degree of political unity. On September 9, less than a month later, a fight erupted into a riot and takeover of sections of the prison, including D Yard. Even though the rebellion was not planned, the D Yard prisoners quickly and efficiently organized themselves into a commune. They had no weapons to speak of, and their level of outside support was negligible. The rebelling prisoners seemed to be aware of their weaknesses, as they immediately called upon cons in other New York prisons and the progressive community on the outside to support them. The prisoners demanded media coverage and an observer team of liberals and activists. They were aware of their vulnerability. The media and observer team generated some public opinion in favor of the prisoners, but the men in D Yard needed more than moral support. No other prisons erupted, and the left outside did nothing to support them. Then, when push came to shove, when the state told the observer team to clear the yard so they could launch their attack on the prisoners, these observers, these same men who had been championing the causes of the prisoners in the press, turned around and walked out. The prisoners were slaughtered at the hands of the state police and prison guards. Liberals and reformers who intend to use the 20th anniversary of the Attica uprising to push for more reforms or celebrate those that have already been made would do well to look at where reforms have gotten prisoners over the last 20 years. One prisoner writes, "On the question of the Attica uprising, it's the same situation over and over, just the time and place are the only differences." Prisoners today still speak of a system of guard brutality and miserable living conditions. An Attica prisoner wrote last month, "The oppressors have gone so far as to name A Block South Africa, and they thrive on oppressing, beating, and living up to the expectations that the oppressors in South Africa represent." The Attica prisoners didn't just want prison reform. They recognized the criminal justice system as a powerful weapon in the arsenal of the capitalist class, and they wanted to turn that weapon on their oppressors. Despite minor reforms, prisoners still experience the same political repression and daily brutality that triggered the Attica uprising. Prisons still play the same oppressive role in the capitalist society. In fact, the U.S. system of internal repression is likely to get worse before it gets better. The population at Attica is still made up of members of the same class as it was 20 years ago. At Attica, 80% of the prison population had not completed high school in 1971, compared with 77% today. The percentage of prisoners from oppressed nations within America, primarily black and Latino, is even higher. In 1971, 64% of Attica prisoners were from oppressed nationalities, compared with 81% today. The tactic implemented by the prisoners of Attica, although it exposed the naked violence of the state to a complacent public and raised prisoners' consciousness to a higher level, was a political defeat, and a very expensive one at that. The history of Attica, the deaths of these heroes, sends an urgent message for more organization and planning, more strategic insight, and popular mobilization. To continue the revolutionary struggle that the Attica prisoners were a part of, those both outside and inside the walls must adopt a revolutionary strategy. 20 years later, that much should be glaringly clear to those who would like to count themselves in solidarity with the Attica prisoners and the prison struggles that continue today. Some of the information in this report will appear in Prisoners Legal News in Lake Worth, Florida. For more information, including information about how you can contribute to a free Revolutionary Books for Prisoners program, send your questions or comments to MIM Notes and Commentary, MIM Distributors, P.O. Box 3576, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106, or write to this station.